I have a pleasure that I alluded to earlier now to welcome home officially the Wiggs family. Brian and Natasha and their sons went to Honduras, as most all of us know. 3 years ago, they labored with the MICA ministry down there. Lots of you know about that, have actually taken part in that and been in Honduras and worked alongside them. They have returned home, and they, of course, as the expression goes, there's lots of dust when you're moving from Tigard to McMinnville. There's lots of dust. When you're moving from Honduras, Tegucigalpa, to Tigard, there's a lot of dust. And it's been settling these weeks since they've returned, and they are now officially home, and I'm counting all but one. I think Okay, we've got Brian James is in Sunday school, but the rest are here. In fact, they went as a family of four, and they came home as a family of six. So they were fruitful and multiplied. Brian, I know you've got stuff on your heart. God's we've planned this. This was not just, hey, can you preach for me? This was God's been working a message on your heart, and we want to welcome you back. Natasha and Noelia, who was not one that went, but she's one that has come back. And, of course, Michael, who went a foot shorter and is now a much taller young man. And Jake is their son and has gone down there and come back with them. So lots to tell, lots more to tell than you could possibly cover here. You're going to share God's word with us. And Brian, why don't you join me down here and or up here. And let's give Brian and Natasha, I want the whole family stand right now because we want to welcome you officially back.
Brother.
And you know what? I can just add one more piece, and it's all yours, Brian. But you've got, what'd you call them? Not Wiggies, but...
Wiglets.
Brian Wiggs has Wiglets in the front row here, which would be his extended family. I'll let you introduce them, but welcome you all. It's great to have you at Grace Point here this morning, and love you, man. Can't wait for you to work on my truck.
All right, buddy.
We will. We'll get her done. We'll get her done. All right. Well, we are back. We are back, and this morning is really special because not only do I get to really express my heart and the heart of my family for all that you have done, but also to preach in front of my mom for the first time. So anyway, no pressure there or anything, but I really want to say from the bottom of my heart that if there was ever a picture of something done well, it was the way that we left. And the way that we came back. I got a call. I was driving, and we had stopped in San Diego to kind of decompress, because 2 days before I left, we ended up burying a 14-year-old boy. And so we hit San Diego and kind of just a decompression zone and whatnot, and a couple days there, we got to go to SeaWorld, and now I got this Shamu song stuck in my head, so if I sing that during the middle of my sermon, don't worry, it's just kind of a mental lapse. But I got a call. Because I was driving with Jake up from San Diego to Portland, and Natasha and Noelia and the boys flew out, and I knew that they were going to be landing, and Doug Wynn picked them up at the airport and took them to the house. The sound in my wife's voice was a peace. You can't buy that. That was love poured out by so many of you here that made that transition God-honoring, and made it home. So for that, from here, I just want to say thanks a ton. And that also brings me into what I get to share with you this morning. And I am excited to be able to share from God's Word this morning about just that, about why we do what we do. Is it a transaction or is it transformational? And I want to go into that transaction versus transformational. And as I do that, I want you to really remember this morning, keep one thing in your mind. It's not what you can do, but it's what you're willing to do. That's what it's really about. You know, I love the Newman story about, you know what, they're here and now all of a sudden this opportunity shows up and boom, they're going to Menville and opening a business and all that. It kind of parallels the same story because we landed here and all of a sudden there's an opportunity and now 3G's Automotive is opening in downtown Tigard in a shop. So you can all, if you ever need any car repair, you can come into that too. Just a little segue. But anyway, but just because we're done with, we're not in Honduras does not mean we're done with ministry. We're not off the mission field. If anything at all, we are more in the crosshairs now than ever before. See, not only is 3G's Automotive getting up and running, but part of that is going to be Tech Night. It's kind of like Micah Tech, but Tigard style. We're going to bring in an automobile or whatever, and maybe the first one that we'll roll out in September is a brake system. Because I've got a great old Thunderbird sitting there that needs a lot of brake work. And what happens when your brakes don't work in your car? And boom, you crash. What happens when our relationship with God isn't right? We go to step on the brakes and that relationship isn't there. That power, that Holy Spirit isn't there to stop us from making those decisions that have adverse consequences. That's what Tech Night's going to be. It's going to be for young men and maybe even some of us older guys to come in and teach and learn and grow. So that's just kind of the dust settling. But this morning, we're going to look at transactional versus transformational. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage in Mark. I want to start with Mark 10, 35 through 45. So if you want to find your way there, if you're going to use the chair Bible in front of you, it's on page 707. Now I want to set the background as you're getting there with James and John. They're the two sons of Zebedee, and they're two of the three that Christ asked to actually stand guard in the garden. Now you see, these guys are trying to position themselves for a position of honor and prestige at the top table. As I sensed that some were sensing that Jesus' mission was reaching its end, because just before this, he's telling them that he's going to Jerusalem to die. That he is going to go pay the price. And when I'm going to read this in just a minute, but it's really amazing that they would even have the audacity to ask that question, the question that they asked. And so I think when Jesus responded to him, he responded to him in such a way as to really say, you know what? You can't do this. You may want to, but you can't. You may be willing to, but when it comes down to it, you won't. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? And he said to them, "What do you want me to do to you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John's. And Jesus called them and said to them, do you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them? But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Wow. I just get all fired up, especially on the tail of that worship, to abide in Christ and to worship. Now, this is powerful stuff, and it gives us the foundation for what we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to come at this a little different way regarding this text, kind of from the backwards into this text, okay? Are you looking for a transaction from Christ? Or are you looking for a transformation through Christ? This is the question. But in order to bring this totally together, I need a couple of examples. And I've chosen two, both of which could be sermons in their own right. And we could, in honor of the Olympics coming up this month, we could make this a decathlon message this morning, and which would be fine with me. We could go Honduran style. I could wrap in the rich young ruler. I could wrap in Mary and Martha. And we could get home about 6 or 7. And it'd be all good. But I really want us to focus this morning on the transaction versus the transformation. See, the first story is the rich young ruler, which you may or may not know about. It's found in Mark 10 as well as in Luke 18 through 23. But I'll be using the passage that's in Mark because it's just right across the page. It's easy. And you know, there's so many times that I've referenced this very message. Sell everything and go give to the poor. We actually practically lived it out. But I missed something that I found in the last couple of weeks. It says this. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, this is so great. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Did you ever get that? Looked at him and he loved him. I get all excited, my pages get blown around. You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. The NKJ says, and pick up your cross and come follow me. I love that. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you see that in there? Jesus looked at him and loved him. Do you see the transaction? Do you see the transaction in the rich young ruler right here with his relationship with Christ? It wasn't that Jesus looked at him and loved him. It was at the very beginning. When he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It was a transaction. Solely based, if I do this, you'll give me this. And I really want to look at, and I hope at that today, when you leave, that you'll have some tools to really kind of different lenses that you can look at your aspects of your life through. Your prayer life. Is your prayer life a transaction? God, if you'll help me with this problem, I will. Father God, if you would only grant me this, I will. God, give me this and I will, I promise. So many times that transaction is one way because, Father God, if you do this, I'll never do that again. And you never do it again, never do it, never do it, and never do it for about 3 weeks. Then, bam, it's back on. Or is our prayer life modeled after what Christ says back here in Matthew? You don't have to go there. I think you all know the prayer, especially if any of you were raised Catholic. Back in Matthew 6, it says, he says like this, when they asked him, how do we pray? He says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have forgiven our debtors and lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. Do you see anything about us in that? Do you see a transaction in there? It's all just giving it to God. It's all about His glory, not our glory. You know, I think transactions are such a huge part of life. We see it even in the Bible in several different places beyond just here. You see it in parts where it says, Jesus, show us one more miracle and we will believe. Jesus, do this and I'll do this. Do we do it in our servant life? And I'm not just talking about Jesus' service. Our lives, a living sacrifice to Him. That's not just Sunday. That's not just after work or before work. After school or before school, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It is 24/7, 365. Is our service a transaction? God, I'll go do this. I'll go to Honduras and serve if you do this for me. I'll go to Tadmore and I'll serve for a week, but you got to give me some fun in there too, right? God, I'm going to go to work and I'll do this, but I need this in return. It doesn't work that way. Never has, and He never will. Our God is a God about people. Our God is a God about transformation. He wants your lives transformed. Formed into the image of His Son. Not into your image. We talk about it here all the time. Lord, make me more like You and less like myself. But do we put that in a transaction? Or do we really mean it? Do we really want to surrender everything to God and be transformed? Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to go there? I mean, I'm talking, let's get real. Because there's been times when I've said, God, if you do this, I'll do this. God does it, and I flake out. I don't think I'm the only one. But God is amazing when you truly want your heart to be transformed. When you look at the other aspect of this, transformation, you look at the rich young ruler looking for a transaction and then not... He could do it. He could have sold everything and gone and given to the poor. What'd he do? Thought about it. I'm really not willing to do that. And he walked away. It's not about what you can do. It's about what you're willing to do. Mark's willing to step out where God's called him into McMinnville to start this business. I think God's going to honor that. That takes courage. It takes transformation. The next story I want to share with you on transformation, I think it gives you a totally opposite picture of the rich young ruler. And it's probably one you're not going to really think of. It's found in Luke 10. 10:38 through 42. This is so cool because this is where we're supposed to be. Luke 10:38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And as she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. There you see transaction, transformation right together. See, Martha, she's all worried about the meal she's going to cook and what she's going to prepare for Jesus and how it's going to be set up and how everything's looking. You can just kind of almost picture running around this room trying to get everything set up. Here's Jesus sitting there. Here's Mary. Not worried about the stuff. She has an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's huge. She wasn't looking for stuff. She wasn't looking for what he could do. She was looking for him. The song we just sang, all I ever wanted, all I ever needed, that's his picture. I think that's what's sometimes missing in our life. Do we want Jesus Christ? Do we want God, do we want the power of the living spirit within us to transform our lives? Do we want God? If we do, that's when transformation happens. That's when we're willing to say, okay, we're going to go to Honduras. We're going to do whatever. I had no intention in my life of ever being a welding teacher. Never. I'm not a teacher. And I wasn't a welder. God said, good. In that, he transformed me. It was crazy. My wife, she never was a bagel maker. Now she makes wicked bagels. And she taught ladies how to make bagels and scones and cinnamon rolls. It's not what you can do or can't do. It's what you're willing to do. Are you willing to lay it all out there? Are you willing to stand in the gap? This isn't in my notes. Are you willing to act on valor? To lead with courage? When everybody else is doing one thing and you stand up and say, nah. Ain't going there. That's God. When you're willing to do that, that's when God is transforming your heart. That's when you're being made more like him and less like yourself. See, so often I think our service and our prayer life, we do it all in the name of God, but it actually has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the benefits, the God benefits, you know, that we get from going to church and singing and all that kind of stuff and professing our faith, that we get these benefits, the Junior Jesus badge for going and serving. We get the fire insurance for accepting Christ. You know, I'm just going to be real. I've seen a lot of that, where it just came from. I've seen a lot of people raise their hand and pray prayers to get. Very small percentage really wanted the transformation. It was all about a transaction. And as I come back to Portland and I look around and I'm out and about for the first couple weeks, I kind of like felt lost almost in a daze, but kind of felt and sensed some of the same thing. And then this morning, in worship, those songs, man, if they don't grab a hold of your heart and say, God, transform me, gotta check your woodpile. Because it's wet. It's not about a transaction. It's about a transformation. You know, I've seen stuff in, look at nature. What gets transformed in nature? You get flower seeds and you get flowers into fruit. You get caterpillars into butterflies. You get seeds into trees, into firewood, into smoked meat, into ashes. You get, one of the most amazing transformations for me, I think, is if you really look at it, is a piece of iron ore. Old, dirty, nasty rock. The next thing you know, it's beautiful high-rise downtown. It's one of the barges that Mark makes. It's one of these giant cruise ships that I saw being made on TV last night. I mean, phenomenal. Out of this rock. That's rock. That's just nature stuff. And that happens because that's the way God designed it to happen. What about us? What about Saul to Paul? What about the disciples? Moses. What about you? We all really kind of that dirty old rock. God wants to transform us into something amazing and beautiful. And only He can do it. And the only way He does it is if you say, here I am. Here I am. In all of my ugliness and ickiness and mess, here I am. From a humility in the heart. That's where it comes from. That's what He can use. You say, God, but look, I got 15 Jesus badges. No. Doesn't mean anything if that's what it's about. Pastor Brian last week talked about it becoming the end thing. When it becomes the end thing, it has nothing to do with God. Whether it's your prayer life, your servant life, your whole life. When it's not about God, when it's not all that I ever wanted, all that I desired, it's just smoke and ashes. It's kind of like the flash paper that I used at VBS a couple weeks ago that burned all the hair off my arm. Just poof. It's just done. It means nothing. There's a great passage, and it's probably one that I think really keeps me focused on why we do what we do, and why we should. And it goes like this. It's out of 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Right there. That's your ethnocentric lens to filter your life through. Why are you doing what you do? I don't care what it is. If it's work, if it's missions, if it's service, if it's your relationship, if it's schoolwork, whatever it is meant to glorify God. That's our sole purpose in our life. We can't do anything, say anything, in order to gain favor, to increase our position at the table, it's all by the grace of God. It's His mercy. That's where we need to find ourselves. It's at that mercy seat. You know, the transaction's been made. The ransom's been paid. It was paid to God to satisfy His justice and holy wrath against sin. In paying it, Christ bore our sins on His body on the cross. Right here, you get the most ultimate perfect picture of transaction and transformation that you will ever see in your life. It's on the cross of Christ. The transaction being made, the ransom paid, and being transformed. I told you we'd get back to the end of the text. James and John wanted to be seated at the right and left of Christ, right? Those two positions are already taken because it is a picture of the cross. It is a picture of that day on Calvary when there is a thief here, and Christ in the center. Go, where's the transformation? Transformation is not only in God, in Christ, in that moment, in sin being, the wrath being poured out. That's what he's talking about the cup. You cannot drink the cup. Can you drink this cup? That's the wrath of God being poured out at that moment for our sins. The baptism, the pain, the fire, all that. You got one on his left ridiculing, mocking, and saying, asking for a transaction. You're really the King of the Jews. Bring yourself down from there. Save yourself. He was looking for a transaction. If he did that, he would have believed. That's powerful stuff, right? Park horse for the day because everybody was doing it. This is where you need to find yourself. On the right. You want to see a picture of transformation? The one on the right looked and said, dude, shut up. Be quiet. You know what? We're getting what we deserve. Right then, the guy's taking ownership of his life. Of everything that he had done, he's owning up to it. Right then, you know what? I deserve to be hanging here. This man has done nothing. Remember me this day in your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Whoa, did you get that? And the grace and mercy of God was poured out on that man at that moment. And Jesus said, just like he did to the rich young ruler, he looked at him and loved him. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Transformed his life in a moment. Like that. Done. That's what he's wanting to do for you. In your prayer life, in your servant life, in your entire life. It's not about what you can do. It's about what you're willing to do. What are you going to do? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this body of people, for their hearts, for their action, for their willingness to lay it all before you. Father God, right now, that's where we find ourselves. We want to lay it at your feet. We want to find ourselves at the foot of the cross, at the mercy seat, willing to just be poured out. To be transformed, not a transaction, Father God. The world's full of that. We want a transformation that comes from you. We open ourselves. We open ourselves to you, to the power of your Holy Spirit, to to work in us and through us, that we may have a right relationship, and that we may be transformed by you. Father God, may you get all the glory. May anything that's said here today that is not of you be just burned as chaff and not fallen in air. Father God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.